While the lawyers for the first case pack up, the lawyers for the second case may come forward. I will call the second case and then make a quick statement and then ask a couple administrative questions of counsel. The second case on today's oral argument calendar is case number A23-688, State of Minnesota versus Nancy Marie Banks. Earlier this morning, we received a filing from appellant, which says appellant requests to waive oral argument. And ordinarily, such motions come in advance, and then the court rules on them in an order. There wasn't time to do that this morning, naturally. I'm wondering whether Respondent's counsel has been made aware of this, and whether there's been any discussion between the attorneys, and whether there's any agreement, or whether the party. I think if both parties wish to, if respondent wish to join in the waiver of oral argument, then I think that's fine. If respondent wishes to have an oral argument, then I think we will go forward with the oral argument because there wasn't an order approving it. And I could cite you to the applicable rules, which provide for waiver of oral argument by agreement of the parties and an order of the court. Anyway, that's my preliminary statement. Maybe I'll ask counsel for the parties if they wish to advise the court. Yes, counsel for respondent. Maybe you could step to the microphone and just identify yourself and your client, please.
Thank you. Greg Hawley, H-O-L-L-Y. My middle name is Patrick. There's another attorney named Greg Hawley. He is Jay. And I am the attorney representing the respondent, the city of Richfield, in this particular case. And I was on the fence on this. I got this request to waive it initially. I said yes, but now that I'm here, we're 99% of the way. I would like to be able to just give my 3-minute speech, if that's okay, Judge.
Okay, I think that it's the court's decision to not acknowledge a waiver of oral argument, and in that event, appellant has an opportunity to begin as according to our usual procedures, and then appellant will have 15 minutes. You'll have 15 minutes. Appellant will have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Okay. Counsel for appellant, please, at the outset, please identify yourself for the audio record and identify your client, and then you may begin.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. Thank you. I did file a motion this morning to waive oral argument based upon looking through my brief and in preparation to say that I wouldn't be adding much here today other than what's provided in my brief. At this time, Your Honor, we are asking the court to find that the findings of the lower court were clearly erroneous as it relates to the facts of this case, and asking for an independent review of the facts to ascertain if there was a reasonable suspicion to stop Ms. Banks on this night. If the court finds that the facts that the lower court found were clearly erroneous, then the matter would be dismissed based upon a suppression of all evidence. With that being said, I am not going to add much more than what my brief provides. Unless the court has any questions for me, I am not going to take any more time.
Am I correct in my understanding of the case law that we have said in prior opinions that if a driver's wheels go over a white line or on or over a white line, that is basically a sufficient factual basis for an officer to suspect a violation of law?
That is correct, Your Honor. That is what statutes have stated. The statutes does, as well as the case law following it. As it relates to this case, it's our position that if we look at the totality of the circumstances pursuant to State v. Brechler, as well as Warwick versus Commissioner of Public Safety, that there was a factor involved in that soul touching and or crossing of the lines, namely the officer's actions. And that's where we're saying that it's clearly erroneous. The only stop, even though the officer claims other things, if you look at the only independent, unbiased evidence, the video, it's clear that Ms. Banks did not commit any other infractions that would lead the officer to believe or give the officer reasonable suspicion articulated by the officer as a basis for wrongdoing to justify the stop. If there are no further questions, thank you.
It appears there are no further questions. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ceratore. Counsel for respondent, please identify yourself and your client, and then you may present your argument.
Thank you, Your Honors. Greg Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, appearing on behalf of the respondent, the City of Richfield. I'm asking the court to uphold the district court's decision and finding the defendant guilty in this particular case of the second-degree DUI, or at least the DWI, Your Honor. And the issue before the court is whether or not Officer Dylan Schultz had reasonable articulable suspicion to pull over Ms. Banks in this particular case. And we're asking the court to uphold that finding by the lower court. And just a couple points I wanted to make in this particular case, Your Honor. There's a State v. George. It's 557 Northwest 2nd at 578. And what that says is that a police officer's observation of a traffic offense, a violation of Minnesota statute, is per se, meets the standard of reasonable articulable suspicion. And as the court mentioned, there's also another case that states that if someone's driving a vehicle and that person's vehicle's tires actually end up hitting a lane-dividing line, just touching it, doesn't have to cross over it, just simply touching it, and there is no turn signal being used, that is a violation of Minnesota Statute 169.18 Subdivision 7 Paren 1. And that statute simply says a vehicle shall be driven as nearly as practical and entirely within a single lane and shall not be moved from the lane until the driver has first ascertained that the movement can be made with safety. So in short, that vehicle, if a vehicle touches a center line or lane dividing line without the turn signal, that meets reasonable articulable suspicion. And if you look at the video in this particular case, there's a mark between 36 and 39 seconds. It's clear that that vehicle ends up touching that line not once but twice. And it's also mentioned in the opposing counsel's memorandum that they acknowledge that that actually ended up happening. So, and I'll also point out that also in the 28-second mark in that same video, you can see two tires on the fog line touching that line as well by the defendant. And finally, at the 140 and 140-second mark, Ms. Banks' vehicle is ahead of the officer's vehicle, and it appears that the vehicle also crosses that line. And at the very minimum, it shows that the vehicle was weaving within its lane of traffic. And other considerations for the courts to consider is that at the 1:15 mark, the defendant or the appellant in this particular case ends up using their brake for no reason. And the defendant's also driving at 1:30 in the morning, which can be taken into consideration that people are driving, or there's a lot more people driving intoxicated at that point in time. And these are factors that are also part of the totality of the circumstances for the court to consider. And let me look at my notes for a moment. I also add that the district court also made a number of findings from Officer Schultz that he testified credibly that the defendant's speed was inconsistent. They further testified that they engaged its brakes unnecessarily, the vehicle's brakes, and also that the vehicle was weaving within the lane. So in short, reasonable articulable suspicion is present both in the video at the points that I mentioned to the court, as well as by the testimony by Officer Schultz, which the court found to be credible. I have nothing further to add, judges.
Okay. It appears there are no questions from the panel. Thank you very much, Mr. Holly.
Thank you.
Mr. Ceratore, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
I'm going to waive rebuttal time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The case is submitted. The court will issue its opinion in writing within 90 days.